And we're going to run this idea of a surge of U.S. troops by Kenneth Pollack of the Brookings Institution. He served on the National Security Council in the Clinton administration. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much, Melissa.
We heard there in Tom Bowman's piece these numbers, maybe 15,000 to 40,000 troops would make up this potential surge. Would that be enough to make a difference in Iraq?
Well, let me echo the comments of the Commandant of the Marine Corps and the Chief of Staff of the Army that you heard in Tom's piece. It only matters if it is tied to a good change in strategy. Our problem in Iraq has certainly been one of numbers, but it has been much more a problem of a strategy that is simply failing. And that is the fault both of the administration and, unfortunately, of the military as well. We've not prosecuted this war well. And the simple fact of the matter is that if we don't change the strategy, we can add 100,000 more troops, and it's not going to make any difference. On the other hand, if we are willing to change the strategy, there are ways that you could take advantage of even 15,000 troops, although more would be better, and really could have an impact on the situation.
Well, let's talk about what some of those might be. We heard the Army Chief of Staff, Peter Schoomaker, say this would have to be measurable. There would have to be a specific purpose. What would the purpose of the surge be, do you think, or what should it be?
Well, I think that the purpose of increasing the troops, the purpose of American forces in Iraq, let's put it that way, ought to be first, most importantly, to provide protection for the average Iraqi. That is nation building 101. That is the first, the most important thing that external military forces do in situations of post-conflict reconstruction. It's also the most important things that they do in counterinsurgency operations. Both of those things say exactly the same, have exactly the same recipe. It is protect the people, and it is the single thing that we have most failed to do since April 9th, 2003. So more troops can certainly help. The more population you have, the more troops you need. Having more troops in Iraq could certainly allow us to secure larger areas of the country. And if we can start to secure those areas of the country, then it makes possible political redevelopment, economic redevelopment, forging new political compromises, rebuilding Iraq's infrastructure, all of the things which have failed so completely over the past 3 years because there has been no security.
You know, if you were to look at one model, you might say, you know, U.S. troops tried this in Baghdad this summer. They increased troops in the city, and it failed. Violence spiked in the capital. So why would this be any different?
Yeah, it's a very good point. Three quick reasons. There were a lot of different reasons, but first, bad tactics. The U.S. troops that were present left every night. They went home to their bases. That left the streets of the night to the militias and to the death squads. Again, this is basic nation-building 101, counterinsurgency 101, stability operations 101. You can't go home at night. Two, there were inadequate numbers. Ultimately, we should have had between 100 to 120,000 U.S. and first-rate Iraqi troops committed to Baghdad. We committed about 15,000 American troops, about 15,000 Iraqi troops, and another 40,000 Iraqi police who don't help any. In fact, they hurt because they're nothing but covers for the death squads. So we didn't have anything like the numbers that we actually needed. And a third point, absolutely critical to keep in mind, security is simply the first step in any kind of an operation like this. This is going to be an extremely long, difficult process. And all security does is make it possible to deal with all of the economic, political, and social problems that need to be dealt with. What we saw in Baghdad was a quintessential failure. We tried to do it only at the military level. The military commanders were extraordinarily frustrated because there was absolutely no follow-through on the civilian side in terms of the political, economic, and social needs of the community.
You know, it's interesting because if you look at the Pentagon report that came out yesterday, the quarterly report on Iraq, it says that the most significant threat now in the country is Shia militants. It's not the Sunni insurgency or al-Qaeda. So how do you take those militias on?
Absolutely. And again, it's part of what we ought to be doing. It is part of the point about security. Right now, the reason that the militias, in particular the Shia militias, dominate Iraq is because we created a security vacuum. As I said, we are not protecting the Iraqi people. So the Iraqi people desperately need protection. They also desperately need basic services, food, water, medicine, jobs, in some cases even electricity or water. The government of Iraq is not providing them, and the United States won't provide them. As a result, the Iraqi people have no one to turn to but the militias. And so they turn to the militias for protection, and the price that the militias extract for protection is their political support. And that's why the militias now run Iraq's government. The way that you start to reverse this is you have the Americans and the Iraqi military forces on the street working together to take the streets back. That's the first step.
Kenneth Pollack, thanks very much. Kenneth Pollack is Director of Research with the Saban Center for Middle East Policy at the Brookings Institution.